Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne. I am recording this literally while on the road in transit because we are bringing you another episode of Witch School, which I'm really excited for you to hear. I'm really excited for you to meet this wonderful witch. And this is another episode that was recorded before October 7th and before this unfolding and visible and devastating genocide that we have been witnessing for the last nearly 2 months now. A lot of people have been learning so much about Israel, about apartheid, about Zionism, about anti-Zionism, about anti-Semitism, about Islamophobia, and it's just been a time of huge awakening for many people. And it has been for those of us who already have an analysis on Palestine, it has been a really immense time of grief and horror and devastation, and just watching what humans will do to each other in the name of safety and fear. And there's been so much misinformation and manipulation. It's just been a really daunting time. So inside of that, we've made offers of content that we feel is really useful for navigating this time. And we have tried, I have tried in every way to be measured about what I'm offering up. And I'm grateful. Nothing that I have shared with y'all, nothing that the people that I've brought on to interview or talk to has had to be debunked or circled back on. And I'm going to keep moving in that way, like trying to listen to folks who are in this as a lived experience, telling us what is most useful. One of the things that is most useful is boycott, divest, and sanction Israeli goods and products, and a cultural boycott of Israel. And I want to bring that up as we head into this episode because, as you all know, I love my Beyoncé so much. And the witch that we're about to hear from, Juju, is also, she calls herself a Beyoncé witch. And we absolutely adore Beyoncé. And this is a moment where we still need to do more organizing to help Beyoncé to get information on this issue. So, as of right now, as we're releasing this episode this week, her film is being released, and we're all like geeked out about it. And it looks like she's still releasing it in Israel. So, organize, put pressure. Like, that's what we do. That's what we do to help our folks get information. And I didn't want to let this episode go by without saying so. And I say it as someone who adores Beyoncé, and I think that if we got to talk about this, she would absolutely be like, hell no to that genocide, and let's save these babies. So, yeah, I have faith in our organizing. I have faith that we do transition from this world to the next because of having the hard conversations that we have been having over these past 2 months. And by listening to the communities on the ground, when they tell us the strategies that they need us to practice in solidarity with them. Solidarity means it's not charity. Solidarity means it's something that we're doing because it's the best thing for our own survival and for the survival of everyone else. So we'll put the link in the show notes for the BDS campaign so that you can learn more about the products and what it means to be a part of a cultural boycott, in addition to all the other beautiful actions and protests. And there's a hunger strike happening right now. People are in the streets globally. People are shutting down business as usual globally. It's actually a really incredible time to be a part of this Palestinian freedom movement. It is also an incredibly devastating time. And whenever there's immense devastation like this, I think we really need to rely on our spiritual practices as much as we rely on our strategic practices. So in that vein, here we go. Here's Juju.
I am fully a Beyonce witch. Like, I wouldn't be here without that imagery to teach me something. And I say it all the time.
Hello, beloved listeners. It's Adrienne.
writer of stories and songs, emergent strategist and pleasure activist, witch and student, living in the land of the Shikori, Skarure, Tuscarora, Eno, and Lumbee peoples. And this is How to Survive the End of the World, our podcast about learning from apocalypse with grace, rigor, and curiosity. When I say our, I'm shouting out my beloved sister Autumn, who's currently away on sabbatical. In her absence, and in honor of my book Fables and Spells, I'm going full witch this season and having conversations with some of my favorite witches and teachers. I'll also read you little bits and pieces from the book with each episode. What I mean by witch? People who work with the elements of the natural world, including human nature, to generate more possibilities. Witching is engaging the essential nature of the world with magic, healing, or supernatural intentions. Some names for what I include in witch work are shamanism, sorcery, seeing and healing, herbalism, midwifery and doula work, reiki, root work, conjuring, ritual and spell casting, astrology and divination, altar building, song channeling, building a direct relationship with the realm of the ancestors and spirit, the holy and ethereal, and ourselves. As a reminder, we don't do any ads here. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just want you to hang out with me. There's no big funder behind this project. Everything that we do is listener supported. So if you are not yet a listener supporter, please go on to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow and throw us a little bit of cash. Okay, I'm so excited about our guest today. I have known this person as an organizer and then got to watch her expand into this huge gift of being a witch teacher. Jujube, welcome to the show, founder and host of It's Jujube podcast and general witch at arms. Hi.
Okay, I gotta add that.
I'm like, bio. Witch at arms, baby. Hello. How are you, Juju?
I have a lot of things going on in my body and in my mind right now. I'm okay, but I'm just like reconciling a lot of things in my life. So
yeah,
they're all right here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like this week is kind of that. Like, I feel like I keep laughing at people because I'm like, it's so cliche, but it really does feel like it's the best of times and the worst of times.
Absolutely.
For real, like right on each other. And yes. I had one of these mornings. I woke up this morning and went to a doctor's appointment that I knew was going to be a heavy one. Like, I was like, okay, like, how are we doing in the body?
Yeah.
But I had given myself, I was like, there's acupuncture right after. So I'm so smart and I'm going to go to that. And then the doctor's appointment ran late and I missed acupuncture and my body is tired, but it's one of those days where I'm like, okay, my body's tired and my schedule is exciting.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same. So, it's cute, like, things, right, on the schedule, but
it's so cute. I wouldn't miss a thing. Like, I want all of it. I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I need to figure out a way to do the podcast laying down. So that's my next innovation someday.
Period. And then teach me, please.
Yeah. I will let you know as soon as I can get the microphone, you know, in the right direction. Right.
Yeah. Oh, what a visual.
That was cute. Okay. So I am using the language of witch for this season, kind of drawing together this season. And I know that that's not necessarily the language that everyone uses for the work that they do. So I wanted to first, I think you do, but I wanted to first ask you, how do you identify the work that you do?
I do identify as a conjurer, someone who manipulates energy. I identify as a hoodoo, which is a Black American spiritual system, practice, belief system. I identify as an Orisha devotee. I love the Orisha, which are deities of the Yoruba pantheon and tradition. I love them. They love me. But most importantly, as I say on my show, I'm a bad bitch witch. That encompasses all of it. Just yes. I am a witch, just add bad bitch. And it's
I
me.
I love that. I really love that. I feel like you've been breaking such ground. Your podcast is so practical, magical, and accessible. Like, it just feels like, yes, this is so, I can do this. Like, I understand how to do this. And I feel like this is such an important time to be out and proud in our witchiness. Like a big part of why I wanted to uplift this season, you know, I really do feel like we're at a stage of human development where the kinds of battles we're fighting are not material. Like they show up as material, but they're actually, I think we're in a really large spiritual reckoning for the future of the species. I woke up this morning, like 5 a.m. and I was like, talk about the demons. And I was like, okay, like, I really feel like we're in this process right now where rather than demonic things happening at an individual level, we're dealing with these demonic super systems and they are so confusing. And you can tell that they're happening when people are engaging in hyper hypocritical and like things that don't make sense. So I'm like, okay, so y'all say that you're Christian, but you're the primary ones funding like the war, prison system, mass shooting, gun culture.
Right.
It doesn't add up. So I want to, you know, those kind of, to me, I'm like, that's when you know a demon is afoot. When I'm like, nothing makes sense and it doesn't add up. And like people get squirrely trying to explain what they believe and why they're acting the way they are. So I think we're in that kind of time.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's anything new. Like, I'm like, when I look back, I'm like, we've been doing this. So I want to ask you to kind of rewind for us to when you first felt drawn to this work. When did you feel like, oh, wait, this is something where I can feel myself and I can feel my power? Yeah.
The earliest time I remember it and trying to pinpoint something was like 2013.
Okay.
I was actually at Spelman at the time.
And Little Baby Black Genius. Okay.
And I read a book by Ayanna Van Zandt randomly she put out like many years before. So random. I don't know. Someone gave me the book and I was like, okay.
Okay.
So I read this book that she doesn't even promote anymore because it's just like, it's just messy and good. It's like all about her life and stuff. And she started talking about like her ancestors and how her grandmother would like teach her how to build altars. And I like closed the book immediately after I read that. And I was like, I need to build an altar. I don't know why. I was not particularly connected to Ayanna. I just happened to read this book. And when I got to that page, I was like, I have to build the altar like her grandmother taught her.
That was why. Yeah.
So I did that in my dorm. Now, I didn't know what to do. I built it and I put some water up there and like some liquor bottles, or I don't know what I was drinking in 2013, probably something terrible. And that was up there. And I was like, and I had a picture of like a Hindu goddess, Lakshmi, I think. And I was like, I just feel like I need to pray here. So I did that. But then I kind of, I couldn't upkeep it. I didn't know what I was doing, but that was my first kind of like little spark.
Yeah.
The second spark that came that lasted was, I think 2016 was when Lemonade came out.
Yes.
By the Beyonce.
The icon, one and Beyonce. Only.
Yes. 2016, there was Lemonade. There was the videos, the hold up, the saga. And I saw her portraying this like very powerful, I mean herself, but also like this very powerful spirit that I was like, what is that? And at the time it was all these think pieces coming out about Beyonce is portraying this witch, this spirit, Oshun of the, you know, a Yoruba goddess. Many of them were actually very negative.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, oh, I'm excited about that. Who is Oshun? And that is when I felt like something in me was on fire and my ancestors were like, yes, follow Beyonce with this. Like,
oh,
look
my
up Oshun.
Gosh.
Listen,
I love that.
Pay attention. And from that point, I was just like, boom. I started studying. I started researching. I started finding elders, talking to people. And I think I found myself, I found my ancestors, and I found all these deities who look like me and love me. And it changed my life. Like,
oh,
I am fully a Beyonce witch. Like, I wouldn't be here without that imagery to teach me something. And I say it all the time.
That makes me, as you know, so very happy. I feel so happy about it on multiple levels. One is just, it to me, so much of what people are doing when they're making music and art is casting spells and conjuring and like casting new futures and letting us look through portals or listen through portals into possible other worlds or possible like the unseen that's between us all the time. So whenever we are like, oh, let me explicitly just name that, like, you know, my political lineage is full of singers, my witchy lineage is full of singers and artists. And so I love that. And then particularly the way I feel about Beyonce is not a game. I am going to see her 3 times this summer. Like, it's not a game. I'm just sort of like, yes. Everyone who asked me, I was like, yes. Like, where are we going? You get the tickets. I'll be there.
What city? Yes.
So, so we know that Beyonce is one of your witch lineage pathways.
Yes.
And you mentioned that your ancestors have showed up, and you also mentioned studying, you know, both the intuitive call to like build the altar, and then you mentioned several formal lineages. So what can you explain just a little bit more about those formal lineages? Then do you practice, or do you feel like right now you're like, I'm fully in Yoruba, or I'm fully in one practice place, fully in Hoodoo, or I'm kind of intersecting?
Yeah. I would say they definitely intersect. I think because I saw that imagery of Oshun through Beyonce, I started specifically looking towards Yoruba tradition at that time.
Great.
And I was already, I knew about Hoodoo. I'll get into that more, but I was like, okay, let me just follow this fire that I feel. And so it's a funny story. I actually went to an open mic night when I lived in Chicago with a friend of mine. And there was a woman up there who was giving, who was doing a poem. And it was about Beyonce. And it was about Beyonce portraying Oshun. But it was extremely negative. It was not good. It was, she did not like it at all. Like, she thought it was, I'm not with it. Disrespect.
Wow.
And so I was
She felt it was disrespectful for Beyonce to be doing it? Or
correct.
Like, because she was like, this is mine?
Yes. Like, why is she showing Oshun in this way? Pop culture is nasty. Why would you bring our goddess there? It's my kind of deal. And so I sat through this poem, Adrian, fuming. I'm hot. Because I'm like, no, this, no. But I respect what you're saying, sis, but no.
Yeah, that's your experience. That's your experience.
That's your experience, but I really hate that. so I get home, and I get on Facebook, and I like write this really long caption, like, I just went to an open mic, and this person went up there and said all these things about Beyonce and Oshun, and that's just not true. And someone commented, was like, oh, that was, and tagged the person. It's like, you should talk to her. And I was like, no, I messaged her. And I was like, hey, I mean, I didn't like this.
Things just got awkward, and I don't like the thing. Yeah.
And I said that. And we had a conversation, and we talked for a really long time. Oh, long story short, she invited me to her spiritual house. She was in the tradition, and she became my god sister.
Wow. You got the best of all worlds, the Beyonce and the Beyonce critics.
Yes. Beautiful. All of it. And as she joined my house, and we became extremely close, and we did a lot of healing work together.
Yeah.
So I found myself in Yoruba. But I also have a call to not just my ancestors, but I come down a tradition of midwives, doulas within my family. I come from people who were, you know, the town herbalist woman, on both sides of my family.
Okay.
The people who, the grandmothers particularly, who people went to their house to pray, people went to their house to go to their herb garden, and they would give them medicines and herbs, and they would also birth their babies, and they would also pray and do all these things. And so that is how I understand Hoodoo. It's sort of this, like, this conjuring, this way making of Black American people, particularly during and after enslavement, of knowing and understanding the medicine around us, knowing and understanding how we can use and manipulate and still use the Bible or whatever, or the Quran or whatever, as a tool, and how we can find our own healing and liberation through those things. And so that's kind of, I can't leave Hoodoo. It's a part of me and my lineage. And the Orisha through Yoruba is something that I've done more studying. And so I blend them. They are different practices, but I go with whatever one makes sense for my situation. Basically.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. I mean, I remember a few years ago, probably a decade now, this is what happens when you get older. You're like, a few years ago, 1935. I came to a friend with a question of whether I was a priestess or a witch. And she was like, or, you know, she was like, or a goddess, or, you know, it was just sort of like, you could be a lot of these things because you have all these different lineages that are coming through you. And I feel like that's what it is to be alive today. It's like we have many lineages, both like lineages of place, location, yep. lineages of culture and story, lineages yep. of practice. Yeah. And we also have lineages that we're also blending and figuring stuff out, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm like, I know almost all the Black folks I know have grandmothers who are both like Christian, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also a little bit of spells just for, you know, yeah, handling stuff. Just to actually make sure this stuff is like handled.
Yes.
But also we're going to pray on it.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to pray on it. Yep. And I feel that that blend is where I feel comfortable, is being mm-hmm. like, I want to call on everything because I'm a human being and yep. I have the lineages of all these systems.
Yeah.
So I know about the podcast and mm-hmm. I want our listeners to know, like, if you like this season, you're going to love deep diving into It's Jujubee podcast. What are all the ways you do your witch work? Do you see the podcast as a part of that witch work or a reflection on that witch work?
Yeah, I see the show as a reflection of the witch work. It's kind of where I am processing the things that sometimes my spirit say, the things that I feel, and be like, do y'all feel that? Like,
yeah. Or
I learned this thing. Did y'all feel this thing? It's really, you know, I don't like to be seen, and I'm not like a guru or like an expert or anything. It's really my musings and my thoughts and like, I wonder why this is happening. Or mm-hmm. I wonder why life feels so fucked up sometimes. Like, and we have all this medicine around us. Like, what's that about? But that's yeah. what I want the podcast to be. So I think that is some of my witching. But also, like, I do readings. Like, I am a card pulling, bone throwing witch. Like, I do read people. I am a Reiki practitioner, so I love to heal with my hands. I always have since I've been a child. What else do I be doing? I think that's it.
That's a lot. That's it. That's a lot. And when folks come to you, say for a reading, mm-hmm. do folks always know that that's what they're seeking? Or do folks feel drawn to you and then you kind of determine the medicine that's needed, or how does that work?
Yeah, people come to me, they know that they needed a reading, but it's typically because they just are unsure about, most of the time people say, I feel like I'm not on the right path. I feel mm-hmm. like I'm off. I feel lost, or my job feels extra hard right now. What is that? Or yeah. my love life is in shambles. Like, is this a spiritual thing? Is it me? Do I need therapy? It's normally all of those, all the above.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yes. And yes.
And yes. But I always, and I love my traditions because they always come with medicine. You know, it's not just about telling the client, you know, what is wrong or what needs to be changed, but like, and here is how you change it.
And this
you need to get an egg and rub it on your head and da da da. And then you need to find some therapy. Mm-hmm. And then you might need to talk to your mama about that thing.
Beautiful.
These are the three things to focus on. So it always comes. No one ever leaves. And even when I get readings, I make sure that I go to people who will give me tools, like very tangible things,
yep.
rituals and spells and fables and whatever it needed.
Exactly. Like, what do I do?
What do I do?
I know. I definitely have. I mean, like, so much of this is, I consider myself a very practical witch and a practical and intuitive witch, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm like, I don't know why I know this, but I know for sure that this is what needs to happen. And this is what you need to hear, or this is what you need to feel. Mm-hmm. Now I look back on so much of my work, my adult life, and I'm just like, oh, there was a power flowing through my hands. There was an intuition flowing through my mouth. And mm-hmm. That feels like it is, you know, benevolent to the human species. Like that real, you know, like I'm like, I really love being on earth. I love being a human. I love being a Black woman. I love existing. And that's flowing through the work.
Beloved survivors, it's Autumn. Wow, I've been loving this witch season. I trust that you have too, because it's just excellent. I'm still on sabbatical for a few more months, but Adrian and I did just drop a new Patreon exclusive episode over at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. And it's a voice memo conversation that we recorded over the course of a few weeks. So if you love me and miss hearing my voice, if you love our show enough to listen to Adrian and I talk about new love, about aging, about roaches and utopias, you can head over to our Patreon and become a patron at any level. And you'll get immediate access to this most recent exclusive episode, as well as our collection of show merch, all of the Ask Us Anything episodes that we've made, and a forthcoming virtual live show that we're planning. All of it is yours. I miss you. Adrian and I thank you for your support. We love you. Yeah, and go to patreon.com/underthe world show to check out all the juiciness. Okay, talk soon.
Now, how do you know what to tell people, you know? And also, how did you learn to read?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Like, again, same thing. Was it just like I picked up a tarot deck? Or yeah. Did someone be like, girl, here's how you throw bones and, you know, chicken bone, that's what you do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. How much of it was learned? How much of it was felt?
Such a good question. I feel like I've probably always read my friends without the tools, without the cards and stuff.
Yeah.
The people who are readers just know, like, you always just been the one to, like you said, that intuitive knowing, that claircognizance, that,
yeah.
I don't know how I know this, but I need to tell you this. Or
And people always ask us for directions. Say,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think when I was started to be more intentional about my connected to my ancestors, I'm in other spirits. They were like, yeah, so it means you got a gift, baby, and you need it's to help people, and you can create a channel and a space for you to do that. So it's not all the time, so you're not overwhelming yourself, but that you can set aside time to help people, because that's what we do. That's what we've done. You got the gift too. Now move forward.
Yeah.
So, I always had the intuition and that gift and hand and healing with my hands, but I had to learn the tools. So I had to learn the cards. I pull tarot sometimes, but just for me, I don't read other people with tarot. I feel really uncomfortable with that.
Uh-huh.
I read people primarily with regular playing cards, like playing card decks. Like I'm pulling out the Two of Hearts, Ace of Spades, all of that. That's how I read and channel. Something about the numbers and the colors and the suits is what speaks to me. So, and then with the throwing of the shells and bones, that's something that was taught to me as well. The methodology behind it, the mathematics behind it, the probability behind it had to be taught, but I still use the intuition intermixing with all of those tools. So you may look up what an Ace of Spades means on thecardmeaning.com. But if my spirit at the time is telling me it doesn't align exactly with that, I'm going to say what it means to me in this moment and not what the website says, you know? So it's a mix.
It's a mix. Yeah. I mean, so much of why I'm interested in this conversation, these conversations, is showing people like there's a patchworkness to it all, especially when we're trying to tap into practices that have been passed down, but not always written down, not always directly passed, or not always passed with, like, you're old enough to understand the instructions you're receiving, you know? So yeah, I'm just sort of like, there's ways we have to find stuff, but also if someone who, especially if someone's older, is like, I want to tell you how you do that. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know,
that
just like, listen, and you'll innovate off of it. You'll find like the methods that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that listening feels like so important.
It does.
What witch skills do you wish everyone had access to in this apocalyptic time that everyone was doing?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sound like my grandmama. But I wish everybody was praying.
Look.
I wish we were praying. And I know that prayer, it comes with a lot. It comes with a lot when you say pray. It's like, I don't want to pray. Like, I acknowledge that, because I went through the point where I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't praying to nothing. I don't believe in nothing. I'm not doing this. It's all a scam. But I think that our elders and our grandmamas were on to something with prayer. And it doesn't mean that we are praying to the same thing all the time, or, you know, the same gods or whatever, but you have to find what you feel connected to and start talking to that thing. Sometimes the prayer is to yourself, to your own head. Sometimes the prayer is to the tree outside of your home to protect it. Sometimes the prayer is to lay your hand on your door before you go out of town and say, thank you for keeping the house safe. Keep the house safe.
Keep it safe.
You know, like sometimes the prayer is going to the water, to the beach, and just crying, you know, just offering your tears. I just wish that we were praying, because it really, it changes things. Like, and it doesn't just have to happen in a church or in whatever tradition you may have grew up in, or the ones that harmed you or and hurt you, but you can find other things to speak life into and over that will shift your reality and thus the collective reality into something bigger and better. So I wish we was praying, not just we was gathering and praying.
I really love that. Yeah. Is it something you do? Like, are you someone who come into a group and be like, y'all, can we pray for a second?
I do. I mean, I try to be mindful, because again, I know that prayer comes with just a lot for people, and it's just kind of like, oh, I don't want to pray. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, okay, well, can we like set intentions?
Exactly. Like, but how can we still pray?
Yeah, it's like, okay, people are down for like setting an intention. Like, well, let's just set an intention. Mm-hmm. That's prayer. Or like, can we just manifest a moment real quick? That's prayer.
You're like, I know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, right.
Actually.
Secretly, we're praying. Yeah. But, you know, let's manifest.
Yeah.
Let's intention. Call it what you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I am that person. I'm the person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my partner will be like, baby, I think we just need to pray. But can you do it? Like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love that too. That's sweet.
I will pray for us. I will pray for this moment or around this moment. Yeah, it's just so powerful. And then realizing that things hear you, like the earth hears you, the water hears you, the air hears you, and like, say it
exactly. I'm like, the universe is listening
always.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're someone who has this unique history of being a social justice organizer, like frontline organizer. Mm-hmm. And that has been, for me, one of the most challenging spaces to bring this medicine and practice into. And one of the most necessary. Like, it's like so very, very clear to me that I'm like, this, we need it. Like, we deeply, deeply need to be able to call on something larger than ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we desperately need it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to ask you about that. Like, how have you built the bridge with that space? Or do you feel like you've stepped away in order to hone this other piece? Or, mm-hmm. yeah, like, how are you navigating that, basically?
I think at the beginning of my spiritual, I won't say journey, I've always been on a journey, but like intentional, like, oh, okay, I come from something and people uh-huh. who have a lot of tools and medicine for me. I was still very active in like organizing spaces.
Yeah.
And so I tried to like bring, like I would have different collectors or groups I was with get readings. I'm like, okay, maybe we can just incorporate
yes.
a reading every quarter. Like, we can go to an yeah. elder. And typically it was okay. Like, yeah, let's at least get a reading. Okay, the reading is saying we should not do this frontline protest next week.
Yes.
Because it could end very badly. And people were like, okay, like I found that kind of was good medicine to just open yeah. up some more dialogue.
That's great.
And to keep us safe, because I'm like, this is about keeping us safe. So let's ask the spirits
yep.
what we should be doing. I also tried to bring in, you know, altar building, like uh-huh. okay, I think something in movement that does happen is like acknowledgments, land acknowledgments, but also acknowledgments of ancestors or libations. I've seen that kind of grow.
Yeah.
So just incorporating that too, like, who do we want to call on in this moment? Who do we think who are our collective spirits, ancestors, energies that we think we need at this time in this moment? That's a beautiful bridge that I've seen. But You know, I don't know. I think it is a space that needs it way more. And I, to be honest, felt really exhausted trying to bring that in the spaces that I was in. And I was tired.
Yep.
And it, I don't know. And in a lot of ways, I feel like I have stepped away completely because I've like, I don't know how to show up. I don't know what to I don't know. And I, yes, I think a lot of people have too.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have and gone into different, I mean, I know a ton of people who have stepped away from formal organizing and stepped mm-hmm. towards healing and finding formal lineages and non-formal lineages in which to make a healing offer to their communities. And I am really noticing that pattern, and it really makes sense to me because you know, there's different kinds of infiltration that happen in the world. And, you know, so there's like the like official infiltration, like you work for the feds or whatever.
Right.
But I think there's a more insidious infiltration that happens where our movements start to really embody the systems that we're fighting against. And it begins to feel like a space where I'm like, I can't quite tell that I'm not.
Right.
In corporate, you know, traumatizing America or whatever, because the way we're interacting with each other, the way we're running our organizations, the way we're navigating conflict, the way we are navigating mental illness, all of it feels like, oh, we're doing this the same way that the rest of the system does this. And so I think so much of this witch work for me has also been like, how do I speak about the interventionist inside me that wants to intervene on that kind of infiltration and not be like, you know, I'm always like, keep the water. Don't throw the bath water and the baby out or whatever that is. I'm right, like, keep everything.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, we have to remember what connects us and what makes us want to be alive.
Right.
Like we have to remember that. And to me, movement, if it's not doing that, it's actually not casting the spell.
Right.
Correctly, that movement is meant to be casting. So I'm like, we're in this large moment now where I'm like, we have to cast the spell. We have a job to do right now. And to be responsible to it means we have to humble ourselves, right? That I'm like, oh, we're not better than these systems. So we are, they're in us. anyway, I'm going off a little bit, but like, I know that you know what I mean.
Yes, you're not, you're on.
You know. So I'm going on.
You're going on,
darling. So I think a final question I have for you is one that I'm really sitting with also. And I think it feels all related to me, but you know, there's not some state you get to where you're like, I'm healed. I've done every spell. I got this, right? And so there's periods when the work is more intense and less intense. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate doing your offers as a witch while also engaged in your own healing journey?
Well, I'm good for taking some time off. I'm good for shutting it down. I really am. I mean, maybe you ask the people around me, they would say I'm not, but I really think that I have great boundaries around that. So I am good to be like, okay, I'm done. I'm actually not talking to anybody or doing anything right now. That's part of my care rituals.
That's good.
But I also just try to stay, I'm a ritual girl. Like I will do a ritual.
Anytime, any place,
because I think that ritual is so powerful and it is something that has been passed down ancestrally, and it's why so many rituals exist, because they work. And I try to see my life as a ritual and the things that I do as rituals and not as a burden, but as if I engage in this ritual, it will help the other things around me feel a little bit more calm and peaceful. So sometimes it's like, oh, I have a lot of spiritual work to do, or I have a ritual that I need to do for an ancestor or whatever. But I do them so that the other stuff can be mitigated and so that I can have more space and time and energy to share, to give, to do the work. Because they can't avoid the work, like just in general, yeah. like it will always be there.
Yeah.
But knowing that I have people and especially spirits and allies, spiritual allies that are helping me, I want to make sure that I'm in harmony with those allies
yeah.
so that the rest can be figured out in time.
It's relaxing to rest into the spiritual support that is actually always available to us. Like I lately have really been in that practice of like, oh, like all of the problems that are being generated in this moment in my life are my efforting. Mm-hmm. And like the way that I'm pushing and trying to get ahead of where I am in this life, in this lesson, right? And there's something about like instead falling back and resting into like, oh, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of benevolent ancestors and benevolent energies. They're like, yes, this is right.
So many. And mm-hmm. I just quickly just
even if it's back, messy.
Yes. And so quickly just go back to the organizing front. I think that's what I want people to understand who are, you know, organizers, formal or, you know, or not quote unquote formal, is that you do have spiritual allies and that mm-hmm. in order to create, build, manifest whatever world that we see already that we're dreaming about, we got to make sure our spirits and that our allies are there with us mm-hmm. to help us and guide us and that can see beyond what we are fighting for today. But that can see like, ooh, a couple months out, think about this. Or like a few years out, what will you do with this?
Exactly.
We have allies, even in the midst of pain, trauma, sadness, wild shit happening. Like we have support. Mm. So I just want, like you are supported, even when you don't see it with your own visual eyes.
Yeah.
You are supported beyond the physical. And so make some connections with those allies because they're already there.
Yeah. I think about that often that I'm like, I like to think of my spirit guides as kind of having a mermaid diva energy to them where they're like, you know, I'm like, why didn't you help me? They're like, we did. Why didn't you like, ask?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, like we would have given you anything and we have continuously given you everything. So why are you tripping?
Like be for real.
Be for real. Be for real. Be for and real. And then as soon as I do ask them, they're sweet. You know, they're like, okay, oh, that's all you had to do.
Okay, baby.
That's all you had to do. And the answer is not going to come the way you think it's going to come, but it's going to be handled.
Yep. It's handled.
But it'll be handled. I love that. I love that wisdom from movement too, because I think there's a way, I think also that we split sometimes going into movement where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I had faith in this way of the world. And maybe I had to surrender that some in order mm-hmm. to come be a part of movement space, mm-hmm. quote unquote. And then maybe we try to project that faith now onto like movement spaces, which are made of human beings who are,
yep.
you know, everyone has a divine spark, but most of us are not operating with that. Anyway, I think that there's something that happens where it's like, have faith that we're never organizing on our own. We're not making these changes just on our own.
No.
We have this huge lineage at our backs.
Yeah.
And then I also feel the energies of everything that is alive around us. And it's like, mm-hmm. y'all, we want to be down. We want to be in a relationship with you.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up? You know? Hey.
Okay, beautiful. So I have a question, which mm-hmm. is, we do this segment called Top Culture. And it's like, is there anything you're like watching, reading, listening to right now that you're willing to share that you're like, y'all need to get into this? It could be fresh. It could be new. It could be old.
What am I even doing?
What am I even doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been trying to write a book, so I feel very...
You've been writing a book.
I have been. Let me not say trying, child.
Exactly. I was like, you either write it or you not. So
this manuscript is due in August. It ain't no try.
Exactly.
So I feel very... Meow.
Yeah. That's the top culture, the future book that you're going to publish.
The top culture is the future book, but when I have some seconds, I'm going to watch the Netflix show,
Queer Ultimatum. Yes, tonight is the what you call it, finale.
Oh, the finale. Oh, okay. I love when I miss that, so I can just binge and it's all there for me.
You're gonna binge and it's gonna be great. I'm gonna tell you. Oh, it's so deliciously messy. It's so great and processy and gay. Just like, I want to talk about my feelings.
Why do I feel like I'm walking away from my love?
I feel like shit. I'm not sure if I'll see Yoli again, maybe.
Do you want to see Yoli again?
I mean, yeah.
Xander!
What? I love the queer ultimatum. I have gone to see The Little Mermaid twice, and I really recommend it. There's a lot about it that is just magical and beautiful, and it sounds so good. Hallie little Bailey.
Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what's that word again? Street.
Hallie little Bailey. I went yesterday and the power went out at the, in the wild, the power went out.
Wow. At
the, so they gave us all free tickets to come back another day.
Wow, this is a new America. Oh my goodness. Was it, had it already started?
No, it was just about to start and it went out. But that's people deep. Were leaving out from other theaters with like, Spider-Man was just getting good. I was like, I'm
sorry. Dang, Spider-Man is rough too, because that's a 3-hour movie. I'm like, you don't want to be in it and then be like, damn, I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it didn't start yet.
Oh, well, okay. So I hope you see it soon. I won't tell you any spoilers, but
thank you.
It's really lovely. And then I just watched a show called Yellow Jackets, which is basically about this group of girls in a high school who are on a plane that crashes and what happens after that. And it's very like, for people who are very fascinated by like the Donner Party or like what happens when people are like, we're abandoned and we have to survive. Yeah. Oh, maybe we're tasty. But the way they tell the story is like present day, like flashbacks. And I really love, I love that kind of narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, tell me more tea about this person. What happened 30 years ago? I need to like weave it together.
The truth is the plane crashed. A bunch of my friends died. And then the rest of us starved and scavenged and prayed until they finally found us.
Yeah, it made me reflect a lot. I'm like, where was I when I was like 14 years old and 13 years old? I was like, what did I know about survival and care and negotiating group activities? And yeah, just made me grateful that didn't happen to me. Okay, so I'm going to read a spell from the Black August Haikus. Mm-hmm. This is a practice that we in the Black Organizing for Leadership and Dignity community practice every year for Black August, where we write haikus that are about and for and in relationship to Black political prisoners who are behind bars on our behalf, on behalf of our liberation and freedom. And basically for like, I feel like Black August is like our radical Black time. Just like, okay, Black History Month is like, hey, we're here, Black futures, et cetera. And then Black August is like, okay, well, okay, here's what we're organizing.
Let's get into it.
So this one was from August 21st, and it goes, Black rest is sacred. Time reclaimed, time indulged, time that is mine alone. We need time to cry, to hold ourselves in each other and this too much world. Lay down in the dark of your own sweet mystery and wander, amazed. Particles of stars waiting to whisper pathways beam within your black. Fill up your glass jar, press down the red dirt, water and seed your garden. Dreams may beckon you, smelling of vetiver, sage visions live in sleep. Humble into deep, slumber like a soul at peace, let the night hold you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that made me think of you. Thank you, Juju Bay.
Thank you.
I'm really, 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 really grateful.
Me too.
And we will include in the show notes links to your work so people will see you.
Thank you.
Shake these bones, shake these bones, oh God. Shake these bones, shake these bones, oh God. Shake these bones, shake these bones.
Thank you to all of our beloved listeners for tuning in for this special time. We are produced by the magical Zach Rosen. You can support us again on patreon.com/IntoTheWorldShow. We're on Instagram @IntoTheWorldPC. Have a nice day and cast a spell.